You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Last week's announcement of the Canadian Boreal Forest Agreement is being celebrated by the signatories as a historic deal that could save a significant amount of woodland caribou habitat. The number of woodland caribou in Canada is dropping dramatically. This is true both for the mountain caribou, which migrate to the mountains every year, and for the boreal caribou, which occupy large home ranges but do not migrate. Stan Bootin is a professor in biological sciences at the University of Alberta, and he joins me on the line this morning from Edmonton. Hello, Stan.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good. What's causing the boreal caribou numbers to fall so rapidly?
Our information suggests that the ultimate cause of the decline is human land use practices that have led to vegetation being changed to favor other ungulates in the system, things like moose and deer. And when their numbers go up, their predators also increase, and primarily that's wolves in this and that part of the world. And when wolf numbers go up, caribou tend to receive the brunt of that change in numbers, in that there's more infiltration into where caribou live, there are higher wolf numbers, and there are more encounters, and that leads to increased mortality in the caribou. And that's the proximate reason for why these numbers are plummeting so rapidly.
Now, wolves and caribou have presumably coexisted in the past. What's altered that balance?
Yeah, so in the past, the way the caribou were able to survive was by what we call spatial separation. So they live in very low productivity, crappy habitat, basically, that nothing else likes to live in for the most part. So the other prey and predators in the system, as I say, the moose and deer and wolves, tend to live in more upland productive areas. And as long as the two are spatially separated, the caribou seem to do all right. Our activities have changed that spatial arrangement, though, so now there's much more overlap between the three and four species involved, and that leads to the increased encounter rates I talked about and higher mortality for the caribou.
What changes are you seeing in the boreal caribou habitat that have meant that it can support more moose and deer?
Yeah, there are two primary ones. The one that the forest companies are clearly most interested in is the fact that when they cut forests, that leads to younger forest regrowing, obviously, and young forest really favors moose and deer. They like that type of habitat and do well in it. The secondary thing, though, that is changing, particularly in Western Canada, is the all creation of these linear features, features like roads, seismic lines for exploration by oil and gas companies. These features also seem to have an influence in that they allow wolves to travel on them more efficiently, improve their hunting efficiency, and also allow them to infiltrate into these low productivity areas where the caribou are, and that also leads to increased mortality. So it's a combination of two things. Forest cutting for sure has an effect, and then the creation of all these linear features as well.
Now, it sounds like from what you described, some of these linear features aren't necessarily they're not necessarily caused by logging, but maybe by other activities in that area.
Yeah, so there's really quite a big difference as you move across the country. This agreement, I think, is going to have a major influence on caribou in the western part of the or in the eastern part of the country. Certainly, Manitoba, Ontario, and Quebec. I think it could have some very positive benefits, and that's where forestry is the dominant player on the landscape. The cutting that they're going to hold back on is in more northern parts of where cutting is currently taking place, and that's where caribou tend to be found. If you move westward, though, it becomes far more complicated because the oil and gas, the energy sector, is such a large player, particularly in Alberta and certainly in northeastern British Columbia as well. They're much more influential in this game, and in fact, the forest cutting that takes place in Western Canada tends to not be on caribou range but surrounding it, because the caribou in the west live in very low productivity peatland complexes where there's no merchantable timber. But the forest cutting takes place around caribou ranges, which still can have an influence, but it's really the energy sector that's much more influential in Western Canada.
So taking a look at the agreement then, Are they going to be, are the forest companies going to be reducing, for instance, their annual allowable cut? Is that, it, you know, what effect will the agreement have in terms of protecting caribou?
Yeah, it's not clear from what I read in the agreement. From what's written, certainly there's an attempt to hold off any further cutting and road development in these designated areas. And that's for at least the next 3 years. So that's definitely a positive move. But what's not written in is whether that means anything to the overall cut that these companies have. And in most instances, the companies make an agreement with the government to cut a certain amount of timber on a yearly basis over the long term. And that's what we call annual allowable cut. And I would venture to guess that not in a single instance in any of these agreements has the actual annual allowable cut been changed. So what really is happening is they're just moving it around the land base in terms of where it gets cut. They're not going to cut in these designated areas for the next 3 years, but that'll probably mean they'll increase their cutting somewhere else, because the wood supply to the mill is absolutely crucial for their economic viability, and it's pretty rare that you see forest companies actually cut back on what their allowable cut would be.
Now, the agreement was as being hailed on something as something that would be good for sustaining caribou. What's your prediction on what impact it might have on caribou numbers?
Yeah, I think we have to applaud these people that it's definitely a step in the right direction to have the groups working together to deal with this incredibly tough challenge of conserving caribou. It's going to be a very difficult task. So that's a positive aspect. And as I say, I think Eastern Canada, it's probably going to be a far more significant effect. In Western Canada, and certainly in Alberta, where I have my greatest knowledge, it's not going to have much influence, because you have to pull in all of the players in the system that are affecting these caribou, and oil and gas are such an important component. They have to be brought to the table. And the hope will be that this agreement puts some pressure on them to do so. But on top of that, much of the damage has already been done in many of these areas. Even if there hasn't been much forest cutting, there's extensive oil and gas development, and so we've seen the infiltration of moose and deer and wolves into these caribou habitats. So stopping of cutting now will not have much effect. We need much more drastic measures to actually be able to stabilize these herds and get them increasing back to more normal numbers.
Well, what could do that? What's needed to save the caribou?
Well, I think it's a three-prong approach that's required. Aggressive restoration of all of the human-caused vegetation change that's taken place already, so we have to restore seismic lines and well pads, some roads back to what the natural vegetation would be there. We have to stop any further development, so development of protected or conservation areas is extremely important as a further component. And then the unfortunate part is that all of those two things will take a lot of time for their effects to kick in, because vegetation takes some time to regrow, clearly. We can't have it happen in a year or two. We're talking 10 to 20 years before the effects kick in. So in the interim, because we're under such drastic conditions right now, we have to stop the loss to predators, and the only way that can be done is with some sort of predator control program, which is very unpopular in many sectors, but probably is essential if we're going to keep some of these caribou herds around.
Now, what you're probably talking about here is a wolf kill. How likely are we to see a widespread wolf kill?
Well, I don't think it's very likely. It's very interesting that we've had an ongoing wolf control program in one of the herds in Alberta for about 4 or 5 years now. And the public outcry in Alberta has been very, very small, surprisingly. But if that was to spread to more of Alberta, and I don't think the same situation would hold in British Columbia, I think society wouldn't stand for it. And so this is the real challenge, is without that tool in the repertoire for caribou conservation, it makes it a real, real challenge. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong to advocate for predator control, but it certainly is one of the only ways in which we can stop the decline of caribou on the short term, at least.
How long do the boreal caribou have under the current scenario?
Well, the Alberta is probably in some of the worst shape of any of the herds we're talking about. And if you look at the 10 or 15 herds we've been monitoring carefully for the last 15 years or so, their numbers are down to 20% of what they were when we started, which is roughly when we started monitoring in 1993 or 1995. So they're dropping catastrophically. And if that continues, they've got about another 10 to 20 years before they're basically wiped out. So that the time is extremely short for us to be able to do anything.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me about this. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Stan.
You're very welcome.
I've been speaking with Stan Bootin. He's a professor in biological sciences at the University of Alberta.